Hi, and welcome to the Red Tunic Podcast, the podcast where I look to rediscover what makes gaming fun and enjoyable by having positive conversations with those related to the industry. My name is Link, and today I'm joined by Bruno Brezeno, artist and animator that has previously contributed to titles such as Chroma Squad, Out of Space, Galaxy of Pen and Paper, and Jet Lancer. Hi, Bruno. How are you doing today?
Hi, Link. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking. How about yourself on this wonderful Friday after a long weekend in Canada?
Yeah. No, I'm doing good. Yeah. Planning my move next week. But other than that, everything's doing great. And thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a pleasure.
You know, I really do appreciate you making the time for me. The pleasure is all mine, especially, as you said, getting ready for the move. And I know previously you've mentioned it. I don't know how public you've put it out there, but you're getting ready to move from Toronto back home to Brazil for, from my understanding, the foreseeable future. So, you know, thank you for fitting me into what I can imagine is a very crazy and hectic schedule.
No, that's fine. It's actually super appreciated to even just to take a break from all the packing and stuff. And yeah, it's just like it's a cool opportunity to finally talk to you.
Well, you know, thank you. I am happy that you find it as a cool opportunity. I don't want to say excited because I don't want to overhype it.
No,
there.
You can say, yeah, you can say it.
But no, I do appreciate it. And I'm really happy to be speaking with you, especially if, you know, some of the games that you have participated or contributed to, not participated in, I've had a ton of fun with. And, you know, some of the ones you've also have contributed to, or maybe that are like on the way or what have you, just based on the studios that you've worked with, you know, also have some cool things. So I've liked the stuff I've seen that you've contributed to. So yeah, I'm, you know, always happy to speak with people, especially people that, you know, I can say I've enjoyed their work in some way, shape, or form, if that makes any sense.
No, yeah, totally, it does. And thanks a lot. It's always so fun to hear when people like play the stuff I've worked on and like enjoy it. So thanks a ton. Yeah.
So Bruno, before we get really into it, before we get started, would you mind telling me and anyone who's listening a little bit about yourself, just so we, you know, we have a better idea of who exactly Bruno is?
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, my name is Bruno Brezeno. I'm from Brazil, Brasilia, the capital. Currently, I'm living in Toronto, but I'm like Link said, I'm moving back home next week. And I've been making games for 10 years now. I started in 2013, where I was studying game development. I went back to school to study game development, actually, because when I finished high school, I actually went to a culinary arts institute because I wanted to be a chef. But that didn't work out for me. I quickly realized it wasn't something I wanted to do. And then looking back to what I always liked doing, which was like drawing and making art in general, I decided to go back to school and study game development, because something like playing games is something I've been doing like ever since I was a very small kid with older brothers who were always playing and stuff. So, in 2013, I joined Behold Studios as an intern. They had just launched Knights of Pen and Paper for mobile, and the game was like blowing up. Like it was that time in mobile games where like some indie games would come out of nowhere and like really, really blow up like worldwide, and it's what happened with Knights of Pen and Paper. So they decided to hire another person. Like they were a 5-person team at the time, and they brought me in as an intern, and we started working on Chroma Squad back then. When I graduated, I became a full-time employee, and I stayed with them until last year. But we all actually we moved to Toronto together, like kind of like the most of the company came here together, because we all also became like super close friends, so and we still are, so it was a fun like adventure. But yeah, after I left them, I worked with a couple of indie devs here in Toronto on an still an announced game, but should be exciting as well. Maybe it's going to be announced in the near future. And yeah, other than that, I've worked on a couple other games during my time at Behold, which were the Jet Lancer with Armor Games Studios, and another one called Spirit of the Island, from the company called 1 Million Bits Hard, from a good friend of mine back in Brazil. But yeah, I think that's mostly been my game dev career.
So, thank you for sharing that. And, I like the idea. I shouldn't say idea. I like that, everyone from the studio kind of just moved to Canada together, and that everyone was, able to stay friends through all of that. And like, I imagine that's also just, I don't know the right proper way to say this, but I imagine that that's a lot of emotion, I guess, a lot of feelings about like leaving that and going back to Brazil. And like, I don't mean that, I don't mean that in a sense to pry. I just mean that in the sense of like, the sense of, well, I seeing as your friends, I don't think, or I hope it's not like the sense of like a chapter ending and it being like closed off. But like, I imagine
Right.
still the process of doing that, of leaving. I imagine that's, pretty hard, but like at the same time, the amount of like the amount of bravery, I guess you would say, to like be able to pick up and go is pretty admirable. So, I just want to say that it's, as hard as it is to make such a big change in your life, especially when it sounds like, if you're all friends, and everything, like how challenging that must be, but at the same time, like how brave that is to be able to just be willing to go and start something new. I'm aware that probably sounds really weird to say, and I apologize if so.
No, it's fine. And yeah, actually the like having this opportunity to like to make such a big move like this, but along with people I know and like friends and stuff, it was actually like made a huge difference. Just knowing that you have people around you like in a new city, like in a completely new country, having people that you know and you can count on, like everybody's going through the same stuff together, and just like exploring the city and the game dev scene here in Toronto, which was a huge part of the reason why we came here. It's been super fun, yeah. But also, I don't. Just having this experience of like leaving your country and leaving your city. I've never moved to another city. I always lived in Brazil my entire life. So, having this experience of like making this going through these months, like I feel like I'm super I feel free to go like wherever I go, if that makes sense. Like I know that the next place I go to and I decided to stay, I'll be staying there because I want to, not because I feel stuck there for some reason or other like feel like in prison or feel like there's no other alternatives. So that's why I'm super excited to move back to Brazil as well, because I'm going for, because of these cool opportunities that are coming up there, right? So I'm going with this feeling that I'm going because I want to, not because I have to, or because it's the only option. So it was a super, super valuable experience for sure. And also I never like crossed out the idea of coming back here as well. Like I love the country. I love Toronto as well, unfortunately, because it's a big city, expensive to live and stuff, but I really like it here. So yeah, who knows what's in the future, but it's been a lot of fun.
And you know, I think the way you put that, you know, that this is your choice, and that, you know, you're doing what you want to do. I think that's also pretty great, like being able to I don't want to say safety net, because that kind of sounds like diminishing or reductionist, but it, you know, mm-hmm. the ability and like the confidence of knowing that like you already have something potentially set up, or you have opportunities, and as you said, you know, some great ones that you're like excited to get to explore. And like, you know, I imagine, because the Toronto scene, for those that don't know, and I've spoken to a handful of Toronto, you know, people in the scene in Toronto, is pretty healthy. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty wild. So, you know, if you do choose to come back, if an opportunity arises, you know, the scene's healthy enough as well that I'm sure, you know, given what you've worked on, and given, you know, the opportunities you're probably going to get to have access to, over the next little while, you'll probably have no trouble coming back or going wherever if you choose to, right? You know, so that's, you know, I'm happy that you are getting to start on this journey, but at the same time that it's one of your own choosing, and one that, you know, affords you the confidence to know that, you know, you're still welcome, or you're still in a position to be like supported, or not just sort of like left out in the rain kind of thing, with whatever you're doing. Cause just because I say that, cause you know, you look at a lot of devs, especially in the last few weeks, where studios have been, you know, like laying people off and everything. And that's a scary time. And, you know, not to try and delve too far into all that, that reality, or the nightmare that would be for people, but like just knowing that you are not out in the rain, is good to also hear. Cause you know, we've known each other for a bit through a different server. Amusingly as well, like, you know, I harassed you at PAX several years ago, in the indie mega booth. So, you know, it's, I'm happy, you know, I'm happy when people do well, but you know, people I know, I'm happier more so when people I know are also able to do well. If that makes any sense, without me trying to say I have favoritism or bias, you know.
No, it's fine. Yeah, thank you so much for the kind words. But yeah, it's a good feeling for sure. Especially like the feeling I had back in Brasilia was kind of like that. If things didn't work out at Behold, that there wasn't really like anywhere else to go there, and I would have to move. But now I see that there's like a lot of opportunities like everywhere, and also the world changed a lot like in the past couple of years, right? So in the game development industry especially, a lot of studios went remote, and with no signs of coming back, especially indie studios, which are my preference. Like if I have any say on it, like I would love to always be working at a smaller studio. and like all these studios going remote, and also opens up a lot of opportunities to like wherever you are. So yeah, I'm super lucky to be in this position right now, and certainly gonna try to take advantage of it for sure.
So, Bruno, before, we go any further and to kind of stay on maybe the same realm of where we are, how did you had mentioned that you started in culinary arts, or that's what you originally went to, and then, for whatever reasons you realized wasn't for you, and then you went back to school for game adjacent, game development, I think you had mentioned. But can you maybe speak more to how you got into developing, or in this case, doing all the art and animation, all that fun stuff, like how you got into all of that?
Sure, yeah. So, one thing that I was actually like diagnosed last year was that I have ADHD, which explains a lot about my life, like looking back. So, when I joined the culinary arts like institute to study, I was like between going to school like for an arts degree or maybe a music degree, which is something I did a lot back then as well. I decided to go with the chef thing because I don't know, my mother like really hyped me up at the time, and I thought it would be a fun experience. But the thing I've always been doing, like ever since I was a kid, was always drawing stuff, especially drawing stuff from like characters from games and cartoons. But for some reason, I never really considered like working with games. And the big thing that made me realize that, like, made me think that okay, games are made by people, right? So like. I could be one of those, right? Was actually back in like 2000, 2010 or something like 2009, 2010. I went back to playing Ultima Online, which was a game I played a lot when I was younger. And I played exclusively on like private roleplay servers. And then around that time, like around 15 years ago, actually, so a little back, further back than when I mentioned it, I was playing Ultima Online again, and playing this like super cool server with a lot of like custom scripts and stuff, and I was asked by one of the staff members. To become part of the staff as well. I don't know, because they were enjoying like the stories I was making. And I said, yeah, sure, like absolutely. And that's like just like the experience of managing like a small private Ultima Online server. And there was a time where I had to like actually mess with the custom scripts the programmers had done. It was my first time like toying with C sharp. That's what made me realize, yeah, like okay, like people make games, right? So it's actually a career that I could go into. And around that time as well, that this game development course was starting in Brasilia. Was I think the first one or one of the first ones, and that's what made me like realize, yeah, okay, like game development like makes total sense for me because like it's a mix of like a lot of things that I like doing, right? Not only art but music and writing and programming. That's also something I learned that I enjoy doing. I don't do any of it, but the little I've studied, I really liked doing. And yeah, the more I looked into it, the more it made sense to pursue it as a career. And yeah, that's what happened. Like I fell in love with every part of game development. And here I am, yeah, today, still making art, which is my favorite thing in the end to do. But hopefully I'll be making games still for a long time.
You know, I hope for the best for you as well, only because, you know, like why shouldn't people in general, but in this case, why shouldn't you not be able to like actually enjoy what you do? Why should you not like actually enjoy the life that you have and the career and all of that? So, you know, I hope as well that you get to do that for the very long future. And now, Bruno, I don't know a good way to tie this, so I'm just gonna go without a good segue here. Now, based on everything that you've experienced, based on everything that you've went through to effectively be at this point in your career and what have you, are there like any words of wisdom, or you know, like pitfalls that you can advise people to avoid, or like talk to any kind of, you know, hardships or what have you, that you learned from to be better at what you're doing, or just can share so other people can be better at avoiding them as well, from all of your experiences? I'm sorry if that question doesn't make as much sense. I kind of muddied it up as I was going there. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It makes sense. Yeah, I've been, the one thing I always think of when I look back at my career is that feeling of, oh my God, like so many things could have gone wrong, like that I didn't see at the time. But I was like super lucky to join a studio that was like really picking up steam at the time. And it's also a studio like filled with like really great people that I can call like friends nowadays, even though we are not working together anymore. But like even like looking at the 10 years that I've been making games, so much has changed, right? Things are changing like all the time, especially in the indie scene. But I guess the biggest thing that I could say, like if you want to make games, is to learn how to finish a game, right? Because it's one thing like having an idea for a game. Like ideas by themselves are not really worth as much as we think of. And it's another thing to actually try to make a game out of that idea and going through like so many things that are going a different way than you imagined, and so many other things that you never even really imagined that would happen or would end up like that. So like actually finishing a game is a skill set on its own, right? I remember when I had just started my game development course, I had zero idea how games were made. Like I had no idea how the people could make the art move while the character or the player was like giving inputs. And like I'd never seen a game engine in my life before. Actually, no, I did toy with RPG Maker like everyone, but very little. So I had the opportunity at the time to go to a game jam, the global game jam, and it was a super fun experience. Like it completely like demystified the process of actually making a game over a weekend. And it's one of the big reasons I'm super fond of game jams till today. Like I don't participate in them as much as I would want to, because It's super exhausting. But I think if you're starting out, like you want to make a game, like a good way to like see like a very small slice of what game development is like in a very quick way and simplified way is just to go to a game jam and you go through all these phases like in a very tiny scale. But it really helped me like when I was starting out to understand a little bit how the entire process goes.
So, you know, thank you for that advice. You know, learn to finish a game. That is something that, you know, in one way or another, I've heard, I think many people have heard and shared a lot, which is, you know, fantastic, because I'm always happy when like the same kind of advice around that is given, just because, you know, I haven't actually seen it as much in a while. I don't know if that's just because I've learned to tune it out, or if, you know, people just aren't shouting it as often. But for the longest while, there were a lot of people saying that, you know, you didn't have to finish a game when you were working on them. Just keep, you know, what have you. But the whole process of learning to finish something is a very valuable experience. And I can speak to that from what I do in my, you know, in my career as a programmer or what have you, you know, being able to ship something from like see it through from start to finish is a very valuable experience. And as you also said, you know, participating in a game jam or game jams, multiple, plural, is, you know, it's great because you get to see in a very, as you kind of alluded, an exhausting sense, you get to see how that's done in a very exhausting and quick, you know, kind of machine gun way, which in and of itself is fantastic, because then you get, you know, you get a lot of exposure to everything. But, you know, I imagine after that exposure, you need to have a nap for a few days or weeks just to recover yourself from that draining, you know, just pushing everything as hard and fast as possible.
Yeah, for sure. The one thing I stopped doing when I go to game jams is to not like actually stay awake all night, because it's something like I thought we had to do like back then. But no, even if it's just a 48-hour game jam, like I'll just work as usual or like the entire day, sleep well at night, and then wake up early the next day and continue working. But it's still like super exhausting, right? Especially that, like having a full-time job and having to work the entire week. But yeah, it's definitely really exhausting. But there's also that weird feeling of like, you know, bonding through trauma with other people, right? Like being like together, especially if it's like a in-person game jam. Like just going through it like with everyone else, like seeing everyone like really tired and pushing through, it's always a kind of fun like to do like once in a while. But yeah, definitely like have to take a few days off like when possible, because it's fun, but it's definitely super exhausting.
You know, I can definitely understand that. And I think anyone that has ever been involved in like, I hate that I'm going to use these terms, but anyone that's been involved in like that kind of a sprint, the last mile or what have you, and having to go at like 100%, you know, personally, I hate having to go at 100% for things, just because it's exhausting. And anyone that says they always give 100%, I'm highly skeptical of that, just because it's exhausting. But you know, I, as you said, I can understand the trauma bonding, I guess, over it, the being able to like be involved in that. Now, Bruno, speaking of, you know, wanting to be able or willing to to give that kind of push for yourself, you know, to be able to do that day in and day out as a professional career, or, you know, in indie, like as a game jam or what have you. What is the game or games that, you know, that you played that made you want to do this, that made you want to give 100% sometimes to the point of exhaustion?
Well, there's like, I can think of a few ones like from when I was younger that were like really formative, like to my taste, like to what I enjoy like in games nowadays. Games like the, you know, we have the boring answer that is Final Fantasy VII, like it's the same for a lot of people, but it really showed me like showed me a lot of what I like in games. It's like it's a good story, like good fun game mechanics that you can toy around with and kind of make your own. But nowadays the games that really really inspire me are like most of them are indie games, stuff like Outer Wilds, which is like a fantastic game. It's one of those games that when I finished it, I kind of couldn't start another game for like another month just because it was like in my head like for a long time. And games like Undertale as well, and Inscription, just cite a newer game. But in general, games like this that really push the narrative and really like take advantage of the of games as a medium, right? I'm not a super fan of games that try so hard to be movies. So I really appreciate these experiences that take advantage of the fact that they are games and really play around with the technology, and which unfortunately we don't see much in like big games, but once in a while there comes out a game like Nier Automata, right? That for, don't want to spoil the ending, but like the final ending with the credits scene like was like mind blowing to me. It was super cool. But yeah, these are the kind of games that really really inspire me nowadays.
So, you know, thank you for sharing that. And like, there's the one thing I want to comment on is you mentioned Outer Wilds, and you know, I can't stand the game, and here's why. I can't stand it because I can't handle the water level, and it annoys me so much because I want nothing more than to be able to handle the water level. I want nothing more than to do what the game, like, see the game as it has to offer, and I just can't do the water level, and it annoys me so much. You know, nothing against the game, nothing against the story that's been presented. It's just going into the water level and being assaulted by that fish or by the creature or what have you. I just can't do it. And it annoys me so much because I wanted nothing more than to experience the game, because one, I've heard nothing but good things about it. From what I played of it, it was nothing but good things. And it's just, I can't. I'm terrified of the water and just water levels in general for games, to be honest. Just, you know, I don't like the idea of things coming from all around. So yeah, I can't do it, and it annoys me so much because I just want to try it. I want to finish it, and you can't finish it without doing every planet, right?
Right, yeah. No, and I it's super valid, and I totally get it. Even like I've seen people that couldn't enjoy the game because of the ship controls, like, are super like janky. But I, to be honest, I kind of like a little janking games, right? I don't know. It's something I don't really mind in general, but like stuff like to your point of that level in specific. Yeah, it's super. It's a super valid reason, and I get the feeling of being like frustrated that you can't like enjoy this game, that you know it's good, but there's something that you can like you can't go through. But yeah, I definitely get it for sure.
Yeah, like, you know, just to point out the extent of that, you know, just so that anyone that's listening, they don't think I'm just bashing on Outer Wilds or what have you. It really does extend to any level, any game with like extensive water stuff. Like Mario 64, I just thinking about doing the bay is, you know, it just makes my anxiety raise. So it's like, right. You know, this is a widespread annoyance with games when, you know, it's when I know, well, I shouldn't say with game, with myself in relation to these games. I think that's the much better way to put it. The annoyance with myself for these games. But yeah, one day maybe I'll be able to get back to it with a guide that tells me how to do everything safe and quick and, you know, lets me get out of the murky abyss that raises my pulse.
No, yeah, and Outer Wilds in specific, like it's low key a horror game, like the I don't know, the cosmic dread feeling of like seeing the star like exploding, like every time the loop ended and the star exploded, I would get chills, like it, when the music hits and all, and that like level with the big fish and all of that as well, like it's terrifying in a lot of moments. But yeah, hopefully, like maybe knowing like exactly what to do and not having to noodle around with around these parts, maybe it would be possible to see the rest of the game.
You know, fingers crossed. One day, maybe maybe when I'm a little older, you know, and I don't get terrified of such things, which is an absurd statement to make. I'm 35. I should be. You know, I don't think I'm going to grow out of that one at this point. And so, Bruno, I am curious about this because, you know, you've spoken about some games that influenced you that, you know, that kind of made you want to do this, or, you know, current and old. But is there a favorite game of yours that, you know, that stands apart from all games? Like, is there a favorite game that when you think about it, it puts you back in a place of like, you know, happiness, of joy, you know, warmth, I guess. Is there a game for you that is effectively that warm blanket? And if there is, do you mind speaking to it?
Sure. Yeah. I always have a hard time like picking, like an absolute, like favorite game of all time, because I feel like it's something that kind of, shifts from time to time, right? Like I have a general top 10 games that are like my favorites, like, but one game, like recency bias in me would say something like Zelda, right? Because I'm playing like playing Tears of the Kingdom right now, but actually the Breath of the Wild was one game that I played back then when it launched, and I still like keep thinking about it, and I would like put in my at least my top 10 like easily, because it hits a lot of notes that I of stuff that I really really like in games, that like I really enjoy the story in Breath of the Wild, the world building in general, like how they presented the world and how they showed you the story, like through memories, but gave the characters like a lot of personality, but also giving you a game that is like, it's a very Nintendo game, like in the best way possible. That is like, it's a big world that you can toy around with, right? And Nintendo is like great in making games that feel like toyish to play around. And Tears of the Kingdom is like even more of that, like with all the building and stuff that you can come up with. Which and also having a like a cool narrative to kind of guide you through the things you have to do. Another one of my favorite games that I always like to, that was actually super formative to me as well, was the Ace Combat games, which really showed me like how I value like good narrative in games, and how you can elevate like pretty much any kind of game, right? Like Ace Combat, like the game itself is super simple, like it's a very arcade like a fighter jet simulator, not simulator, but it's super arcade kind of game, but just like having a cool story. And it's super cheesy, like it's super anime, but it's very well written. It made me a huge fan of the series, and it was a lesson that I carried with me like until today, like how a good narrative can elevate like any kind of game, even games that you don't think it really needs, but it always adds to the experience.
So this is, and you know, I want to preface this very clearly. I have not played an Ace Combat game. I am, the only thing I'm really aware of it is that it's an arcade, you know, jet fighter game. So you know, the question does not come from a place of judgment or bias or what have you. But like, what kind of narrative does a game like that have that sets it apart from some other like arcadey kind of shooter games? Just because, you know, I, like I said, I'm not aware of the story for that. You mentioned it's super anime, which, you know, says a lot to me already, and anyone else who might not be aware but knows anything about anime. But, you know, what is it about the narrative of Ace Combat that you feel is good and sets it apart of, you know, sets it above and apart from other games that, you know, might kind of exist in the same space, so to say.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I can talk about Ace Combat all day, but like to give a few examples, like I think my favorite game of the series. Yeah, it's worth mentioning that there's a lot of Ace Combat games out there, but the three ones that people always mention when they like, when like fans of Ace Combat in general always mention that are the best ones, are like Ace Combat 4, 5, and 0, that comes after 5, but it's like a prequel to 5. But they all have like super well done narratives, like in their own way. But like taking Ace Combat 0 as an example, it has this the entire story is told by a reporter that's trying to tell the story of this unknown pilot from the war, and all the cutscenes are interviews with other pilots that you like, you go through the mission, and there are like enemy squads that you like with unique names and colors and all of that, and when you shoot down one of these pilots, you're shown a cutscene of this, the pilot you shot down, like giving an interview, talking about like your character, and Ace Combat Zero in specific has this I don't know, Arthurian theming throughout it, in the sense that there's a map in the game that's like a circular mountain range that is a very valuable like terrain, and there's a lot of battles that happen there, but since like the it's a mountain range, all the battles there are fought through fighter jets, like are mostly aerial battles. So they call this area the Round Table, and the pilots that stand out on the battles there, they are named the Knights of the Round Table, right? And every like major pilot that you shot down is one of these knights. And they are all team like fantasy stuff, like the Mage Squad, the Knight Squad, and stuff like this. And throughout the game, which is a thing that happens in most Ace Combat games, you start out as this like unknown pilot, and there's a lot of radio chatter during the missions, like from random like people, like soldiers in the battlefield or random pilots, and you keep listening to them, like talking about what's happening, and even enemy pilots, you hear a line of them once in a while. And it's fun to go to the game, and they all do this. That is, like, they show you through the reaction of the other characters how your character is like making a name for themselves. And you start out like as this unknown dude that comes up and like cleans up the battlefield, and the people are like, "Oh, who's this pilot? Thank you for the help and all of that." But by the end of the game, in like Ace Combat Zero as an example, you make such a reputation for yourself that by the end of the game, people are calling you the Demon Knight of the Round Table or something like this. And when you show up in a mission, you hear the other soldiers in the battle like saying, "Yeah, okay, this battle is won. The Demon Knight is here." It's like, and you feel like, "Oh yeah, I'm here. Leave it to me." And they really like they like to set a theme for the game, and they really like they push on it like as much as they can. Like I said, the Ace Combat Zero has this kind of King Arthur theming throughout it, and they also have like some really kick flamenco songs in the battles for some reason, but it fits like. And the final battle against, I'm sorry about spoiling an old game, but in this case I think it's worth it, but you fight the final battle against your old friend that was your wingman in the beginning of the game, and the battle has a few different phases that he's piloting like an experimental aircraft. On the second phase of the battle, like he give you some like bullshit reason, like, "Oh, the his aircraft is shielded by something, and the weak point is the like the air entrances, like in the front of his fighter jet." So you have to go the distance, like try to lose track of him, and turn around and face him head to head, and shoot a couple of missiles like at the front of his craft, and like you quickly realize that it's kind of like jousting, right? Like you go through each other, you pass through each other, you try to hit each other, and you keep going, and then you circle back and you go head to head again, and then try to hit each other. And all while that, this like super cool flamenco rock song is playing in the background, and your ex-friend is saying how the world is messed up, and you have to start it up, start over from zero, which is where the game takes its name. And it's like this super cheesy anime story, but it's so well done and so like so I don't know, genuine, like in a lot of meanings, that I don't know, I just couldn't help but be totally buy into it, like fully. And the gameplay itself, like, it's super simple, right? You just shoot missiles and basically that's it, but the story is what really kept me coming back and keeps me thinking about the game like until today.
So, you know, thank you for elaborating, for explaining that. You know, I understand what you mean by it's totally anime, And, you know, Ace Combat has, it's been one of those series that's been kind of on my periphery for a while to try. I think I have, you know, I think I've acquired one or two of them from like a bundle or something like that over the years. And, you know, hearing more about it kind of, you know, I think I'm going to try and push it up and try and get to one sooner than later. Cause you're not the first person that spoke well of it. And I doubt you'll be the last as well. So, you know, thank you for speaking more to that. And, you know, giving me some cause to look into it further.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Yeah.
Now, Bruno, I realize that you are, you know, you've mostly worked with indies. You said you'd like to, if you can, you'd like to stay with a smaller studio, you know, whether that be like an indie, a micro, what have you, whatever the terms are. You know, I personally don't quite understand them, and that's not, I'm not about to drill you on what the differences are. However, I feel that you might be in an interesting place to be able to speak to this question. And that's, cause you know, indie teams, devs, what have you, games are usually the things that push this kind of new thing. They're usually the ones that are a little more experimentive, willing to take these risks. So, you know, from your perspective, from the indie scene, or, you know, the smaller studio scene or what have you, do you have a favorite trend that you've seen come up over the last few years? And what has that trend been?
I've been really enjoying well, it's not exactly a new trend, but just roguelikes in general, because I've been a fan of like roguelikes like since forever, like the old school roguelikes, the actual like rogue games and NetHack and stuff, and seeing the entire genre like being transformed into something like kind of has the spirit of the old school roguelike still, but like something completely different and something really fun as well. It's always a pleasure to see it when a good roguelike comes out. But recently I've been really enjoying looking at the more narrative heavy games, and even some that are like that are mixing up like different trends, like the deck builder games have been on the rise for a while now, and then there comes out the games like Grift World and Signs of the Sojourner that like are kind of like deck building narrative games, and I have a lot of fun like seeing people like successfully mesh up different genres like this. And even like as a more recent example, which is also a mashup of two genres that I really really love, that was Hi-Fi Rush, right? That I'm a big fan of rhythm games, and I've seen people. There are other games that try to do this, like make more action games that are also rhythm based, but. I never seen one done like so well as Hi-Fi Rush, because I think it really took advantage of being a rhythm game and built upon that, like not used just as a gimmick or something, and it's one of those games that I feel like a big company would launch like half-assedly, and then a needy dev would come up with a better version of it, but not in the case of Hi-Fi Rush. No, Hi-Fi Rush like came out like awesome, like right out of the gate. But yeah, I really really like seeing this mashup of different genres and how people like sometimes like create new genres out of this or just like make some really cool games and that's it. But it's something I super enjoy following.
So, you know, I definitely understand what you're saying there. I also, you know, you know, I also really enjoy roguelikes and the mashups that come with it. So far be it from me to really add anything on there beyond I understand completely. And, you know, I think I also agree. It's a fantastic thing to be that keeps getting to exist, you know. Yeah. So, yes, thank you. Thank you for your insight on that, especially, you know, speaking to Hi-Fi Rush. From what I've played of it, that was also a fantastic game. It's amazing how low key they dropped that game. Just dropped it. But yeah, so you know, I can say from what I've played of it, I've also had a blast, and yeah, so thank you for your insight on that. Now, Bruno, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. However, if you think you can spare me one more question before we wrap up and I let you go, by all means, I would love to ask this. If not, I am more than happy to let you get back to your Friday evening before a move.
No, please. By all means, I'm more than happy to spend more time here with you.
Awesome. So with that in mind, then, you know, I'm going to shift the focus more so to you than any of the other questions really would have been. And outside of games, outside of video games, I should say more specifically in this case, what do you enjoy doing? What do you do to relax? And if the answer is video games, that is completely valid. However, if it, you know, if there's more to it than that, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, so I think the my main hobby, like throughout the last couple of years, is building Gunpla, which is for anyone listening, is how I met Link actually. Yeah, it's something that I took up a couple of years ago. I think it was like the start of the pandemic, when I realized that I was because like I still like doing art, even though I work with it, I don't have like a lot of motivation to do it like just for fun anymore, but I still like doing it whenever I can. But there was a point 2 or 3 years ago that I realized that I was working full time at my main job, working part time as well on doing freelance work for another game, and also trying to make like art projects for myself. But what that meant was that I was like spending like 14 or 16 years. 16 hours per day, like not only doing the same thing but on the computer, but like not even closing the same software. Like I would open Blender and then work in Blender for my main job, and just close the file and open another one for the freelance stuff that I was doing, and then just close the file and open a different one for my personal projects. And that like quickly became like unsustainable, and I thought, yeah, okay, I really need to make stuff that is like that's not on the computer, because I also like play a lot of games on the computer or on consoles and stuff. So I took up like building Gunpla, which is for anyone who doesn't know, it's just plastic model kits of the Gundam series, and I fell in love with it like right away, and I went into the deep end of like customizing and painting and all that stuff, which is also fun because a lot of my skills, like my work, like so from working with art, also translates to model building and painting. So it's been a lot of fun just exploring that space. And other than that, like I also bought a camera like not too long ago that I've been trying to learn more about photography. I've been trying to draw more as well, because I don't get to actually like sketch or make illustrations for work. But that's how I started, like, making art when I was a kid. So I try to, I've been trying to make more time to do that, get back to that. And other than that, just, like, hanging out with friends, like, playing board games, which are still gaming, but there's a difference there. I've been playing a lot of Frosthaven with some friends here. And yeah, that's mainly it. I'm gonna try to go back to doing martial arts as well, which is something I really enjoy doing. And it's very important, like, especially to do any exercise at all, especially if you work at a computer like all day. I end up like searching for hobbies that either are related to that have some relation to art, that I can like both transfer some skills that I already know and also learn new ones that I could also use like for my main job, and like search for hobbies that are complementary to what I need, like martial arts and things like that.
So, you know, thank you for sharing that. And I can definitely understand the urge, urge might not be the right word, to want to try and have an active hobby, especially one that you enjoy, you know, not just like doing for the sake of doing, but doing because it actually interests you. It actually is something you can enjoy and have fun with. Right. So like, I wish you the best luck in getting back into a healthier lifestyle, even if it's through actually I shouldn't say even, like that has some with martial arts. I hesitated there and didn't, you know, only because like a lot of people and myself included, for a bit of a joke there, was going to, you know, would think of our martial arts as similar to like boxing or like a full contact sport, but it's typically, it's not always going to be. So, you know, I should be careful with saying even if it's martial arts, but you know, I hope you enjoy getting back into it with whatever the discipline, with whatever the practice is, or, you know, even if it is full contact or what have you, I hope you enjoy getting healthy again, or I shouldn't say healthy again, but getting into a healthier lifestyle through it again. And, you know, I can't really speak to martial arts. It's been several years since I have had any form of version of that. I think it ended with a tournament when I was like 5, and you know, I think I did well, all things considered, as a 5-year-old in a tournament that had someone chasing me, threatening to as they put it, you know, they had one goal and it was to kick me. And their one goal was to kick me, as they screamed as I ran away from them, as they yelled, "I'm going to," you know, what they were going to do to me, and you know, no one wanting to intervene, saying he's lying, he wasn't lying. Anyway, I digress. That's a joke I can't make, or I don't want to make right now. But I think everyone gets what I'm trying to say. Anyway,
yeah,
it's a joke for sure. a different medium. But with that said, something I do have some more knowledge about, and I can, you know, inquire a little better about, you know, so for board games, if you were going to make a recommendation to someone that wanted to play a board game, what board game would you recommend they jump into it with?
I even though like I really like Gloomhaven and Frosthaven are like my favorite board games. There are games that I don't think I would recommend, especially for someone that's like start out with board games, because they are like super complex, and they are like kind of the exception in board games in general. But I really enjoy games like Eldritch Horror, that is like quicker matches than something like Gloomhaven. It's rather easy to pick up. It's got a good like atmosphere with like some Lovecraftian horror. It's got characters that you can like get items and improve and stuff. And also games like Betrayal at the House on the Hill, that is that has this like exploring phase that you go through a house, like trying to figure out what happened there. And then at some point, like one of the players becomes the enemy, and the party, like there's a divide between the party, and it's always a lot of fun as well. And yeah, I think games like that, that's I like this type of games that are like easy to pick up and has a good like has this like weird vibes, like kind of horror vibes that it's always fun to go with other people, right? It's always, especially if everybody like is having fun together and joking around and stuff. It's nice. I think both Eldritch Horror and Betrayal at the House of the Hill would be two games that I would recommend for anyone trying to play something different other than like your Risk or Monopoly or things like that.
So thank you for those recommendations and the kind of the anti-recommendation for Frosthaven and Gloomhaven. I think anyone that's played them knows 100% what you're saying. And for those that might not, these are very, very system-heavy games. For example, Frosthaven has a alchemy system, a crafting system, and I know a lot of people are probably thinking, yeah, whatever, big deal. No, it's like a book. It's like an actual like table, a book. It is very in depth. So well, what I've played of Gloomhaven is very fun. It's a very involved, systematic game. So, and I can def, you know, it's I can, I would same as you. I would not recommend that for someone's first foray into the much bigger sea of board games. As someone who has played Betrayal at House at Haunted Hill, I can, I'm 100% on board with recommending that or adding to your recommendation, because that is a wild game. It's an incredibly fun game where you don't get to choose to betray your friends. You get forced to, and that makes it all the more fun when you get to be the bad guy. Because then you can say, well, look, it's not me choosing to use this tentacle to throw you through the floor. It's the game telling me I have to. Like, you get that shield of getting to try and murder your friends in the game, where you don't have to feel guilty about turning on them, or they don't have to feel guilty about trying to throw that Molotov or whatever they find at you to repel you, to defeat you as they survive. It's a good experience to, where everyone gets to try and kill each other, and there's no guilt or animosity in it. Which is a very,
Exactly.
it's a wild thing to pitch with that game, but it's the truth. Now, Bruno, before I let you go, I want to ask this one as well.
Sure.
If you were gonna make a recommendation for someone to get into Gunpla, what kit do you think you would say this is the one they should start with that you enjoyed? That you would, that you'd want other people to enjoy as well.
Yes. So I'm one of those like I don't know kind of I like starting out with something that looks interesting to me, right? No matter what people recommend and stuff. So in Gunpla, you have for anyone listening who doesn't know, like you have like different grades that kind of translate to how complex the kit is. But and the one line that people always recommend you not to start out with is the real great line, because it's the line that has like, it's the kits are small, that has a lot of different very tiny pieces, and which can be overwhelming for someone like starting out. But I actually started out with none of those kits, and it's completely fell in love with it, how like the engineering worked and all of that. But also it's all one of those things that I was like pretty sure I would enjoy like building like anyway, because I was watching like videos watching people build, and it's something I was super sure I was gonna enjoy right off the gate. So I didn't like worry too much about starting out with a complex kit. But if you're someone who's not sure if you're gonna enjoy it, if you're like gonna think you're worried if you're gonna think it's a little bit like boring, or I don't know if you're unsure for some reason, just start out with one of the entry grades, like the new Gundam or any other of the entry grade kits, which they are really interesting builds, and they're made for complete beginners. So it's a very quick way to give you an idea of like what building Gunpla is. So yeah, I would if for people who are unsure if they're gonna enjoy it, like just get an integrate kit and see what you think of it. But if you're someone who like you're like super hyped and then you have this feeling that you're gonna love it, then just like get the kit that calls you the most, that you find the coolest, and it should be more than enough reason for you to go through it and probably enjoy the process.
You know, thank you for that. I think that ultimately, I think that is the best advice. Is, you know, if there is a kit that speaks to you, just do it. But at the same time, I would never argue that entry grade is a wrong place to start, especially if you like McDonald's and you find a way to get a hold of, or you find, I don't know where these are exactly, but if you find the Big Mac RX 78 and you want to jump in with that, that would also be a fantastic place. It's an entry grade, which are nice, fantastic kits. And if you like Big Macs, then you get a Big Mac themed Gundam. And none of that is a joke. None of that was a bit. That is an actual collaboration. I'll leave it at that. But yes, thank you, Bruno. That is a, you know, I agree completely. Thank you for that viewpoint, for sharing that advice. Or not advice, but sharing, you know, how you would jump into it, how your recommendations would be. Now, at the same time, though, I do not want to take up too much more of your time. I want to let you get on with your Friday evening, relax a little before the big move that's coming up and what have you. However, if there was anything else you want to discuss, you know, like a cool game, something else you're doing, something you just feel more people should be aware of, by all means, the floor is yours. And please let everyone know where they can find more information about you, which I'll also include in the episode description.
I would say to everyone to keep an eye out on the Ghost Trick that is coming for the Switch. Play Ghost Trick. It's a great game that not a lot of people have played. It's a game that came out for the DS, and it's like a kind of like a point and click adventure puzzle game that it's a lot of fun. And I don't know, I feel like I have to always tell people to play that game with every chance I get. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. I don't know when it's coming, but it should be soon, I think. The Switch part, or remaster, I guess. And yeah, you can find me on Twitter, like at Bruno Briseno. And that's, unfortunately, is where I am most active. I wish I wasn't, but that's life, I guess. Yeah, if you have like, if you wanna follow my work, or if you just wanna ask me something, just feel free to hit me up. I'll be more than glad to talk to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Bruno, for that recommendation. And could you say the name of the game once more? I didn't quite catch it. I apologize.
It's a Ghost Trick. I don't think there's a... I think it's... No, it's... Oh, sorry. The full name is Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. It's the full name of the game. It should be out, I think, this year for the Switch. Yeah, next month, actually. So, yeah. It's June 29th. So yeah, keep an eye out for it. It's a great game.
Thank you. And I apologize. I just didn't catch the name at first, but no, looking at the art now, I am much more familiar. I'm aware of what this game is now. So yeah, thank you for the recommendation, for, you know, myself and anyone that's listening, and for anyone that is thinking to themselves that the name is somewhat familiar, just Google it. You'll see the artwork. I am 100% certain the moment you see that, you will immediately go, oh, it's this game, and you'll immediately remember and know, you know if you've heard about it, you'll immediately know why it's being recommended. But yeah, thank you for that recommendation. It's, you know, it's something I wanted to look at in the past as well, and I think if it's coming out on the Switch or newer newer hardware or what have you, just makes it all the more easier to get into it.
I would like to recommend something like Ace Combat Zero, but it's so hard to find nowadays. So and this one is it's like coming out like next month, so it's a much easier recommendation for people.
Yeah, and I completely understand that, and especially if, you know, from a quick look at it, and, you know, the brief description you gave, I think if it's something, if you enjoyed something like Phoenix Wright or what have you, it would probably also be right up your alley, because if I'm not mistaken, that was kind of how it was, I don't want to say it was, like, advertised, but it was something that in the past, like, when it came out on the DS, that a lot of people made kind of the same pitch, that if you like this, you'll probably enjoy this to some degree. So,
yeah. It's made by the creator of Phoenix Wright. So yeah, there's definitely a connection there.
Awesome. Now, you know, that's great to know. And that makes sense as well, given the art style and what have you. And also, it's a Capcom game, and let's be honest, when it comes to certain genres, from Capcom, it's, you know, it's, or from the industry itself in general, but, you know, it's not a shocker to find out they existed, you know, like the same team or the same director or what have you, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, Bruno, with that, though, if there wasn't anything else, I will definitely let you get on with your day.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a blast talking to you. Thanks for having me. And yeah, I hope you have a good one as well.
You know, Bruno, really the pleasure was all mine. I really do appreciate you making time to have this conversation with me. I did, you know, I enjoyed getting to speak with you, you know, as we've alluded to, we've kind of known each other for a while. And, you know, the amount of game talk, I'll say like superficial kind of stuff. It was never going in this kind of depth. So it was I enjoyed getting to hear, you know, like what kind, like where you came from, like what influenced you to get into it, starting at, you know, modding or working on a modded Ultima Shard, or, you know, your favorite game. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was great getting to discuss that with you and hear your perspectives and everything. So I know I really do appreciate you making the time to have this conversation. Like I said, you know, I've said a few times and you've said as well, in the face of leaving the country, uplifting your life and moving away from Toronto. So, you know, I appreciate you making the time. But at the same time, you know, you also said it's nice to have a distraction. So I'm also happy that you you let me be part of your wind down distraction from having to pack everything up.
No, yeah, I super appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Yeah, like you said, we just like talked superficially about games before, and it's nice to have like this moment to really go in depth into some things. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for the invite.
Well, Bruno, as I said, the pleasure was all mine. But as well, you know, thank you again for making the time to have this conversation with me. And thank you for joining us on the Red Tunic podcast, as well as a special thanks to Ronald Jenkins for the use of the music from the title track from Roads Deep. And if you like this podcast and want to support it and help it grow, please subscribe or follow me on Twitter at Red Tunic Podcast to receive the latest episode of news, and be sure to share if those you think might also enjoy it. Thanks. Till next time.